Which evacuation centre are you at now, and what is your assessment of it? How many people are there?
Right at the moment we are in Tavua, and we are at Tavua District School Evacuation Centre. There are about 700 people.
The director of Fiji's Bureau of Meteorology, Rajendra Prasad, says people were given plenty of prior warning about what was going to happen. But it appears many of those who lost their life weren't listening.
Well, we have been issuing warnings for, I would say, 3 days before actual event, and for the first time in the history of Fiji and Fiji Met Service, certainly issued what we call a severe flood warning for Fiji. So it's very hard for me to understand how all this has happened.
Some, however, are quite a little bit lax. This is some sort of laxity in the parts of individuals, which has resulted in the loss of life.
Well, the leaders have been meeting for just under an hour now, and no word yet as to what outcomes or agreements that these leaders have reached in regards to Fiji, and possibly what sanctions or penalties might be imposed on Fiji and its interim leader, Commodore Frank Bainimarama, for failing to hold elections as promised in March this year.
The forum has gone beyond its mandate. The forum was never meant to determine what type of government members should have. Indeed, you know, the forum was never to decide when an election in a member state should be held and tell Australia and New Zealand that Fiji's position is not going to change.
The Pacific Islands Forum had a leaders' meeting in Papua New Guinea recently, and they said that they wanted to see a return to democracy in Fiji. Are you going to heed that call and return Fiji to democracy?
Bruce, that is going to happen, but it'll be to our tune and at our pace.
Can you tell our listeners why you decided to stage that military coup?
What military coup?
The military coup in 2006.
It was a clean-up campaign to get rid of the racist policies that was brought about by Ngarete and his crowd.
I think the Prime Minister was not sure how, at what stage Bainimarama was at when he was interviewed by Radio Australia. According to the Prime Minister, when he read the article, he wasn't too sure if Mr. Bainimarama was sober, or maybe there was a full moon out that night and he got moonstruck.
All of us, the leaders of the forum, are pouring our hearts out and also trying to decide on what is best for Fiji.
The fact that we've got a pilot program for labour mobility, I would genuinely like to see this turn into a training development skill formation type mechanism that had movement of people within the Pacific, not just between Australia and the Pacific.
The men landed at Melbourne's Tullamarine Airport clad in traditional dress with high expectations of what the next 7 months will have in store.
Australia has a much more bay than what we have in the island back at home. We are going to take back to our home and families and the various islands in Tonga.
The removal order forcing Fiji Times publisher Rex Gardner to leave the country was served on Monday evening.
No reason was given for my deportation, and I probably won't get one either, because that's the way they operate, you know, the dark of night, this sort of thing.
The fact that previous managing directors have been deported, does that put pressure on you and the journalists to carry on without looking over their shoulders?
We're hoping so. I mean, the journalists are to do their job as journalists, and that a newspaper company should do.
There is a strong policy of pregnancy tests. So being pregnant in the beginning, they will withdraw now medical reasons to go back, and then they can continue their education the following year.
The university does not penalise the male partners of pregnant students.
The avalanche of negative data from around the world is painting a common picture around the world, which is that all economies are under stress, and the implications for people and their jobs is immediate and acute. It is absolutely critical that governments around the world are engaged in coordinated fiscal stimulus. The International Monetary Fund has called for that action. New Zealand's doing its bit, Australia's doing its bit, and it's important that's coordinated across the global economy, because if people beg out from that in any way, it actually sucks demand further out of the global economy, including for manufacturing products.
The New Zealand Foreign Affairs Minister, Murray McCulley, has intervened personally to axe $1.95 million a year in funding for a regional South Pacific governance program. Things like coastal resource management, conflict resolution, lots of really good work.
In an interview with Radio Australia on the weekend, Dr. Grinberg accused Australia of pursuing its self-interest to the detriment of the Pacific and of allowing its officials to be so heavy-handed that Australia is losing authority in the region.
I say this categorically. In terms of these negotiations, there will be absolutely no bullying.
That was the one where the eruptions were going from. It's one in a lifetime experience. But now, after coming back from there, and I thought to myself, how stupid can you be?
I heard a bang, perhaps two, one after the other, and I heard the security guard shout. I ran outside, and he said he had seen two men. Their faces were covered. He saw them throwing objects, which we later found to be Molotov cocktails.
Both Mr. Rica and Colonel Raivolde believe police should be allowed to do their jobs.
Media in general, and our newspaper in particular, has continued to call for people to abide by the law.
Previous Chinese infrastructure projects in Pacific Island countries have involved Chinese companies and Chinese workers doing most of the work. Will any of the work, any of this money actually go to local companies in the Cook Islands?
We have established this understanding.
They didn't ask you for a naval base or anything, did they?
I don't see anything suspicious. If they say anything suspicious to me, I'll tell them no.
1,500 people live on the three atolls which make up Tokelau. 10% of locals have the flu.
An infection that's been introduced from outside, and because they haven't had a lot of exposure to that in the past, it is affecting a fair number of people.
We join New Zealand in encouraging Fiji's interim government to abide by the Pacific Islands Forum's benchmarks and timetable to restore democracy to that country.
It actually feels quite remarkable, Geraldine. We obviously realised when we were considering what judgment we would hand down, the extreme was that which occurred, the abrogation of the Constitution. We never really expected that the abrogation of the Constitution would actually take place. We realised it was a remote possibility, but it clearly has now occurred.
I was having a cup of coffee in a coffee shop, and on the screen was Australia Network. And my story came up on the screen, and just after my story finished with the very heavy criticism that Darryl Tart, the chairman of the Media Council, made, I got a phone call saying, Sean, we want to discuss your reporting with you. Could you come into the office? So I did. He said, look, Sean, there are going to be immigration officers coming and you'll be on your way to the airport.
Has anyone from Fiji notified you officially that the FM transmitters, Radio Australia's, are off air now?
Yes, I understand that the police accompanied some technical staff to the transmission facilities and asked them that those facilities be turned off.
Swine flu has already been identified in New Zealand.
I'm just hoping that if it's in New Zealand that they've done enough to contain the disease in New Zealand. I think it's by these school children who contracted the disease while they were in Mexico.
In a brief statement at the Honiara Airport, Archbishop Desmond Tutu says peace can be achieved in Solomon Islands.
It will happen here because God wants to give you the gift of prosperity. Such a beautiful parting looks like the Garden of Eden.
Too much money has been consumed by consultants and not enough money is actually delivered to essential assistance in teaching, in infrastructure, in health services on the ground in the villages across Papua New Guinea.
The Prime Minister of PNG, Sir Michael Somare, says Prime Minister Rudd's remarks about aid money not going where it's needed are wrong.
We put all our resources into areas where we believe best could be spent. And I think people who write about us haven't had a chance to come and sit down with our people to really find out how we expand the Australian aid money.
So some shops you heard that it's looted, broken into Asian, especially Asians.
PNG police have blamed a pressure group known as NGO and civil society group for the lootings.
I think this should be left for the Papua New Guinea citizens. They are selling a lot of counterfeit and fake products. And looks like most Asians are not paying tax. That we see.
Represent the nation, tell them that no foreigners will be allowed in unless they meet certain preset conditions. Why do we bring people like we're bringing now? Why is it?
The Prime Minister says he even has to wait for more than 2 days to get his passport processed.
Yes, we blame immigration, the short of staff members, but this is happening. The bypass, others who line, I know, I've tried to get a passport too, and I'm like you. I have to wait for 3 or 4 days, and I have to be the Prime Minister.
Still on the ship in the Somali waters, and no one has notified me about this news but him when he called me to tell me that he's been captured by the pirates.
He said that if they don't hear anything from Tuvalu or they didn't bring any money, they're gonna shoot two of them. There's nothing I can do. We just pray for him.
We were just wearing our own ordinary watery. We were told to put our hands over our eyes and close our eyes. And then we come down, and then there goes the blast. We could feel the heat over our back. And they told the loudspeaker would say, keep still. But who would keep still when it gets so very hot? Just like somebody's holding a blood pot over your back. Some of us got very sick when we got home, and some died. Some of my hair started to fall off, fingernails, and my gums started to bleed, running stomach and all those kind of things, which I didn't attribute to the bomb itself. I thought it was just bad luck, you know?
Do you have any reservations regarding the resettlement of the Uyghurs in Palau?
Not really. Palau absorbs a lot of foreign workers, so 17 other people would just be a drop in the bucket.
General Wildhouse has sent us a lieutenant colonel and a first sergeant to attend his funeral, and they actually carried Father's flag.
Martin Clemens was the last of the Coast Watchers.
The flag that he'd had on the Solomons. And the first sergeant said, ma'am, this has only got 22 stars on it. I said, well, it was actually Father's. And First Sergeant Wood said, well, then that's fine by me.
The legend of what they did will live on with the Solomons, the PNG, with the US Marines, and in Australia, which they worked so long and hard to help defend.
The MV Princess Ashika was halfway through its voyage between the Tongan capital, Nuku'alofa, and an island further north when it went down in darkness.
Neighbours were crying and running around. Some of their family members were on board.
I was looking down in the ocean, and I just imagine, I just wonder, looking at the face of my mum and my brother and my sister.
This is a wake-up call for the government of Tonga, for the Prime Minister and the members of parliament to look into this very seriously.
The ship was no way anywhere near its capacity, and the ship was in perfectly good order.
The vessel was almost 40 years old. This doesn't concern you, and you don't believe that it could have been a problem with the vessel?
No. Have nothing to indicate that there was a problem with the vessel.
But the captain of the ferry says the government should take some responsibility for the accident.
They know, they surveyed the boat.
He says financial pressures delayed much-needed repairs for the ferry.
But there's no time to stop the boat from running. I lost my crew, my friends, passengers. Some are fathers, some are mothers. Some. Most they have children.
A little before 1 p.m. today, Australia's High Commissioner to Papua New Guinea, he had been informed by Papua New Guinea officials on the ground at the crash site that they had concluded that there were no survivors.
It really was incredible. There was an outpouring of grief as some relatives and friends of the four Papua New Guineans who were on board were gathered out the front, and they were wailing, grieving. It was very moving scenes.
We were told that either formally or informally we should not make contact with Mr. Gadase, Mahendra Chaudhry, or Mr. McBeddoes.
Did you ever consider perhaps just ignoring that instruction and just meeting them anyway?
Well, we considered that, but we didn't go down that route, although I think that by the time we left, we had been in touch with each other.
How was that achieved?
It's something called a telephone.
We have a population of probably 600,000 people on the Solomon Islands, and the chances of getting eaten by the crocodile is still extremely remote.
Well, I suspect they wouldn't be terribly relaxed about it if one was chewing your leg off at the time.
Certainly, it would take the edge off your day, all right.
PNG this week marked its 34th independence anniversary. For those of you who weren't around in 1975, here's how the ABC broadcaster covered the event.
Well, I've just returned from the Sir Hubert Murray Stadium in Port Moresby, where 6,000 people, Papua New Guineans and Australians alike, gathered this afternoon to watch the Australian flag lowered for the last time in Papua New Guinea.
The government has got a signed gas agreement with ExxonMobil. Intoil project is a proposal. The risk remains that because we are such a very small country in terms of mobilizing government resources
we would be really stressed to the limit. And that is a very, very delicate balancing act which the government is conscious of.
Tsunami warning issued for much of the Pacific after a major earthquake strikes in the ocean off American Samoa. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center issued the warning after the quake hit nearly 200 kilometres southwest of the island. It struck
just moments ago, the quake was upgraded by the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center to an 8.3 magnitude quake. Reports are still coming in, but the massive quake was also very shallow, and the Pacific Tsunami Warning Centre has issued a tsunami warning for American Samoa, New Zealand and all regional Pacific states.
It sounds to me like you have our most recent bulletin, which only went out a few minutes ago. What I can add to that is that we did record a tsunami in American Samoa and Western Samoa.
Well, we are now, so it's the first time my mum has met this elderly woman's wheelchair bound. So as we're talking, they're chatting there and discussing events and listening to the radio for the latest.
So the messaging that we're communicating to the public for obvious reasons now is to not go down to the shoreline, to have a look, stay away from the shoreline, stay away from river estuaries and river mouths.
This is unbelievable in terms of the damage that this tidal wave and this tsunami has caused. It was traveling 500 miles an hour.
We have been in Lalamanu for 2 days now, since yesterday. They need some sort of counseling and that sort of thing, but there's no one to turn to in this kind of situation. But the embassies are doing their best, and the locals are doing their best, but you know, there's still visitors who lost loved ones. You know, they need that.
As they were heard, a child from a lineup of children from schools across the island nation came forward, placed a wreath in their name, bowed in their honour, then returned to the lineup. That lineup of children stretched the length of the stadium at the park.
It scarcely seems 35 years ago since, in the early flush of my first appointment as Prime Minister, I opened, or whatever it was, Radio Australia. I little thought at that time how significant an element Radio Australia would become.
Radio Australia marked its 70th anniversary last night with a party here at the South Bank Studios in Melbourne.
Going all the way from Rarotonga, Cook Islands, to be with you to celebrate 70 years of Radio Australia's service. On behalf of all the people in the Pacific who listen to Radio Australia on a daily basis, we'd like to say thank you. Thank you, Martha. Metaki Martha.